Good morning. In front of me here, I have three little plants you may notice on the way in. You get to choose one of these three as a gift from us to you as you leave today. Why? Because they're nice plants. No, the symbolism of these plants is really, really important. The reality is these plants didn't just arrive like this. There was a seed. And the seed, to produce the what it was originally intended to do, needed to be buried. The seed needed to go into darkness. It needed to be underground, and it had to be broken. And the seed was then broken, but the seed, at the right time when it was broken, burst forth with new life. And that new life came up out of the ground and started to reveal itself. And so the resurrection is symbolic of all of that, but here's the good news. The resurrection story today is not a destination. It's the new beginning. Just like these plants have not arrived yet, they are simply new life, and there is better to come. There is more to come, and you get to choose one of these as a gift and to nurture it and to spend time with it that it may fulfill its original intention, or you could leave it on the side of the road and it would die. And we've done this in such a way that you have a choice today. You could, if you wanted to do, choose this kimono rose. If you're into color and nice things that look aesthetically beautiful, then go for the rose. Or if you want something that you know is hardy and it will grow and grow real quick, amazingly, then you have the elephant bud, all leads across the front of that. It'll grow and grow quick. So if you like to see growth, then this is for you. Or if you're like me and you like food, then this is rosemary. This is to remind you that this herb can be grown. And yes, it's a sweet fragrance, but oh, it's good on meat. Or to be sprinkled. So whichever you choose today, as you walk by after the service and I see you holding your plant, I will be able to judge you according to which one you've chosen. No, but it's all right. I saw one family at the 9 o'clock and there was three of them and they had one of each. But Dad was holding the rose. And I'm like, is it because you like that? And he went, no, I got it for my wife. Anyway, moving on. But they're for you, and I'm going to remind you, they're going to reference those later on. Welcome to the day in human history that we remember this day in human history that literally changed everything. I think this is a historical fact. It's not just a spiritual experience. It's not just something that is just, oh yeah, it's a historical fact that the resurrection of Jesus changed the course of human history. You can look at it, it changed the course of human history, but more importantly, it can change the course of your destiny. That's why it's so significant. You see, Friday was important and the cross, but Sunday, this is the day that we get revealed it's not over. We get the truth that it seems it's not over, but it's not. And I believe today, as I unpack some things today, the power of today is the power of life change. And so you may have been in church at Easter, apart from last year, you may have been in church at Easter all your life. And so I'm thinking, what do I say to you guys who've heard it all before? This may be your first time in a church on Easter. It may have been a while, and we've got those in between. You may be here and you don't want to be here. I'm only here to keep her quiet. Or whatever other the motivation is, I get it, I understand. We're all here with different reasons and different experiences, but here is my hope. My hope is that every single one of you lives here with the overwhelming experience and encounter that this is not just a historical event that happened. It is something that can be happening in your life today and for all eternity. It's that important. And the reason we celebrate today, the resurrection of Jesus, it reveals to us that it's not over, but it reveals to us a hope. It reveals to us hope like this. You may have right now some darkness, but it can become light. You may have some setbacks, but they can become triumphs. You may have some stumbling blocks that can become stepping stones. You may have some grief that needs to turn into joy. You may have some rejection and you need some integration. You may have some alienation and you need acceptance. You may have some fear, but you need some faith. You may have some sorrow, but you need some joy. You may have some death in front of you, but there is life because he turns graves into gardens. And I know I'm coming out hot already. It's like, Des, slow down a little bit. Like you've just started and you're already like, wow, I'm going for it. I'm gonna keep it going at that pace. The reality is today when we talk about graves into gardens, we don't normally have all of this foliage and these real plants out because we're trying to create the best we could, a garden experience of new life for us all. And the reality is life started in a garden. Mankind started in a garden, and the whole story is that we return to the garden. And it's phenomenal that we have this image on the side here that is this stone being moved from the tomb, and Jesus stepped out of a tomb into a garden. That's literally what he did. And so this is the imagery I want to portray today. And so I'm going to take us to a section in the Bible. If you're new here to Grace, then we as a church believe that the Bible is the living, active, breathing, life-changing power and word of God. We believe that what it says is true, and we believe that it can impact us. We don't open the Bible to get information. We open the Bible to meet someone. And in doing so, within the Bible is different kinds of writings and different kinds of sections written over many centuries. But the reality is one part of the Bible is called the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. These four guys were eyewitnesses who were then inspired by God to write a biography of Jesus' life. And they all have different emphasis at different times. And I'm going to pick John today to recall one of the resurrection encounters that we see. And John reveals something. We're going to go there. It's intimate in its posture. So it'll be on the screen for you to follow through. I may stop at any moment according to how I feel, but here we go. John chapter 20, verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, by the way, that's John, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Pause. For Mary, Friday was horrific. Good Friday was horrific. Her adoration, her love, her hope, the whole future, everything was not meant to turn out the way it did. She's going through an absolute despair. This isn't meant to happen. She has seen, heard Jesus brutally, excruciatingly crucified, but beaten and humiliated and mocked, and the whole thing was horrific for her. And then she sees him die. And then she sees him put into a tomb, and it's all over. And then she encounters into Saturday, and all we can probably imagine is the ache of grief and the ache of loss and the numbness. Is this really happening? And she gets up the next morning to go because she just, even though she knows he's dead, she still just wants to be close. And she gets there and it just gets worse. We miss this. It gets worse for her. Because not only has it all happened on Friday, when she gets there, he's gone. It's like, now what am I supposed to do? Now I've got this other crisis. Where's he gone? Where is he? Do people not understand? I need to know where he is. Where is he? There's loss upon loss, and there's ache upon ache, and it's just brutal. Before I continue, let me just get up close and personal with you. Right now, here we are, April 2021. This isn't just a historical story I want to talk about. It's about today. And it's about you, and it's about me. How you doing? Maybe you've come in here today And the reality is, I can maybe relate to Mary. Life just stinks right now. Maybe there's a lot of stress going on, anxiety. Maybe there's some uncertainty. Maybe you found yourself in a position and you have a sense of shame and regret because you kind of caused where you are right now. And you're struggling to navigate that. Maybe there's guilt with that. Maybe there's some heaviness. Maybe you feel overwhelmed, exhausted. Maybe you don't feel like a new plant. You feel like a seed buried in the ground and you use no light anywhere to be seen. It's okay. I just want to remind you, it's okay. If that's where you are right now, it's okay. Bring that honesty. This is where I am. I think one of the dangers of church life is we fake it. You know? How you doing? God's good. Yes, he is. How you doing? And there's an honesty and a vulnerability. And God wants us to know that even in Mary right now. This is where she is at. Death is so final, isn't it? It just seems so final. It just seems like that's it. The end. It's over. So final. So separating. Spiritually thinking, death is that ultimate separation from God. And even if you've got a perspective of eternity, for many people, death is an eternity of loss. So final, so devastating. But what if it's not over? But what if it's not final? But what if it's not the end? But what if it's not? So we continue. I'm going to jump to verse 10 because Mary goes back, tells the guys he's not here. They go and go, she's right, he's not here. Okay? Verse 10. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Hey, woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, because they're in a garden, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Come with me a minute. When was the moment that Mary knew it was Jesus? When was the moment that Mary went, "It's not over"? One word. Here's what you need to know. My king, his name is Jesus, calls me by name. I'm not a nobody. I'm not a number. I'm not just a thing. He calls me by name. When's the last time, all of you who are followers of Jesus, when's the last time you heard the Lord's voice just whisper to you by your name? Hey. The precious intimacy of a loving God calling you by name. All Jesus needed to do was just say her name. And he probably said it in a tone she'd heard many times. He said it in the right tone with the right intonation and inflection. "Mary." It changed everything. I believe in this space today, you may get that, hey, by name. I put myself in the posture. Des, I did this for you. You see, Jesus could have gone, hey, Mary, I'm back. He didn't add the I'm back. He could have gone, hey, Mary, surprise. Hey, didn't expect this, did you? He could have done so many things. He could have said it so many different ways. But instead, the precious intimacy and affection, he just comes close and says, Mary. And everything changes. Everything changes. The gloom, the despair, the absolute horrendous nature of what happened Friday, the ache of the grieving and the loss on the Saturday, the body's gone only a few minutes before. It seems even worse than it was. He's gone in a heartbeat. Gone in a heartbeat. Because he's here. How is that possible? It's not over. The reality is, we're here today, it's not over. The songs we were singing, which were all, they were all the same theme, did you hear them? They were all the story. They were all the Jesus coming for us, because why? The ultimate word we have to talk about that takes us from a grave into a garden is love. When you all need to know this. When we all get a complete, what's the word I'm looking for? There is a cosmic shift in our minds when we realize, when we look at the perspective of life, that it's all from love for love. When you realize that there is a God who created the universe and he created it for love. He created it out of love. He wanted love. He wanted relationship with his creation and with his people and us with them and them with one another. That's the ultimate driver. It's all for love, from love, because God's name is love. That's the perspective that even have a conversation about the world right now. What if we were to realize that's the why? The why was it all came from love and for love, but love had a separation and a brokenness and it needed to be restored. It needed to be restored. That fresh perspective, let me take you to the most famous Bible scripture that we know of. The most popular, should we say. Be on the screen, John 3:16, but we have to add verse 17. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son. That whoever would believe in him would not perish, die, that would not have eternity separate from God, would not have hell and an eternal grave. But the reason he came was so you would have life and a garden and life and fullness. And at the renewal of all things, there will be a garden into all eternity. There is so, so much more. So God loved the world that he gave his one and only son. If we believe in him, we would not face grave, but have eternal life. And it's not just something when you die. It's got to affect everything when you are on the earth now living and living for all eternity. But you see, verse 17 is the verse to me. God did not send his son into the world to condemn it. And he had reason to. God could have come and gone, I'm sending my son to strike you down. You bunch of self-centered losers. He had reason to come in and go, where do you think you are? What are you doing? Look at how you're behaving. He had reason to come and just, but he didn't send his son to condemn the world. He came and he sent his son to save the world through him. The posture was always restoration of relationship. The posture, the why was always oneness. The why is always new life, new beginnings, new hope. And it was only possible because his son had to die for us, but he is risen. He is risen. There's a verse in there, it's not on the screen, in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that says, that God showed his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, still self-centered, living for ourselves, couldn't give a rip about God. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's not that we had to perform well for him to die for us. He says, I see what you cannot do, I will do it. I'll pay that price. So I pause and I go, wow. The King of heaven steps down, he reaches down, he reveals himself, he pays a supreme price. Why? Because he knows our greatest need is restoration. Our greatest need is to be forgiven. Our greatest need is to be restored. It is to be redeemed. It is to be rescued. It is to be saved. There's a greatest need, and nothing and no one can do that for us except the one who created in the first place. That's the great need. And it's only possible because he is love. And the resurrection's only possible because you can't keep love down, because these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Why do we put anything above love? Why do we think that any solution to any situation will be found in anything except love? Why do we try and navigate any other situation in our world right now? If we don't put love first, it's not going to last. It's like, oh, we know it's love, but we'll leave the plant on the side. Thanks for the hopeful image, but we've got a better idea. We'll work this one out right now. It's all love. What is your perspective of God this morning? I'm talking to all of us. If you're perceiving God is here to say, I am here to beat you to death, that's not God. He's not here to beat you to death. He's here to raise you to life. He's here to raise you to life. And I'm talking about today. You may have some deathly situations in your life, certain things that seem to have died. Well, he's here to raise them to life. It's what he does. It's his specialized subject, resurrection. And he has the monopoly on it. This is love. I think I say this every Easter, so why not say it today? Today is a day that it's not a day to remember that bad people can become good people. It's a day where we remember that dead people can become alive people. It's a big deal. If you're seeing a belief system, an ideology, a Christianity that makes the baddies the goodies, you've totally missed it. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's about dead people coming alive. And so this is love. Do you believe it? This is love. Have you received it? And then as I was preparing through this week, something came back to me about graves. And I was thinking about graves and gardens, and that theme was all around me. And then I remembered this quote from somebody, an explanation from somebody. I don't know who it is. Way too intelligent for it to be mine, but it's good. I want to talk to you about a rut, R-U-T, rut. A rut is a situation you find yourself in. You're stuck. You're going through life and up to the sides is just darkness, and it's just flat out, uninspiring, boring, deathly. It's a rut and you can't get out of it. You just can't get out of it. You're stuck in this rut. I do believe there's a song by U2 many years ago called Stuck in a Moment. And it's the same idea. I don't know where that came from. It just did. Spirit of Bono came over me. I don't know what it was, but you know. You've got to get yourself together. You've got to start. Anyway, I need to move on quickly. So, a rut. And then someone once said this, what is a rut? A rut is a grave with the ends kicked out. A rut is a grave with the ends kicked out. It feels like you're alive, but you're walking in a lifelessness. And for some of you, you may have situations in your life right now that feel like a rut. Maybe it's relational or physical or occupational or whatever it may be. You just feel like I'm just in a rut and I need the power of the resurrection right now. Does God care about that rut you're in? Too right, he cares about everything in and around our lives. And that's the beauty and the joy of growing and walking with him. Easter is not just another holiday of the many in the year. It's not just another holiday. Other holidays are great, but I'll just say this clearly. This holiday that we're celebrating today, I look at it and it is the one that is life-changing for me. When I look about my life, everything in my life, the foundations of my life, the people in my life, the existence of my life, the purpose of my life, the where I am living in my life, it's all because he is risen. You see, if he wasn't risen, I need to get some serious help. If he's not risen, why would me and my family be living in Tempe, Arizona? It's because he is risen. I receive the gift of his salvation, the forgiveness, the joy, the hope, the restoration. And I therefore said to him, whatever you want, I'm in. Because of how much you love me, I will go wherever you tell me to go. I will do whatever you tell me to do. I will be whatever you want me to be. I'm in. And so he tested me out on that, and here we are. But what's your story? This is the moment, the absolute transformation moment. And it isn't just a day in history, it's an ever-present reality. And I think for many of you who are followers of Jesus, how alive are you with the power of his resurrection? How alive, how much does that help you go, why am I in a rut? And he'll go, all right, by the way, he'll come, walk with you in the rut. He's not a God who just says, get yourself out of it. You put yourself in there. He'll step in. He'll get to the end of that rut and he'll be there waiting. And he'll go, stick your foot on here. Stick your foot on here. Come follow me. Come follow me. On Friday, when we remembered that Jesus spent approximately 6 hours in excruciating agony, well, that was just the hours on the cross, let alone the build-up. We have to understand that it was because he was paying an outrageous price for you. He was paying an outrageous price, and it was revealed in what we call grace. We didn't deserve it. We couldn't earn it. We couldn't persuade him, anything at all. It was all because he wanted to, because he loves. Why? Because he does. Let me take a quick aside. Those of you who have children and have had newborns, you've had a moment. I can speak as a dad here. You get your newborn into your arms. Imagine you have a newborn. It's placed into your arms, and I come into the room. And I come into the room, and I say, so, do you love them? You'd go, what? Do you love them? You've only just met. Like seconds ago. So do you love them? Do you love them? And your response will be, yes. And I'll go, why? Like why? Give me logic. Give me some reasons here. I need some evidence. I need some proof. I need a bit more. Oh, just because you're holding the baby, that's all you need? What? Why? And you'll be like, yeah, it's not a great answer. Well, we've got the same DNA. What's your why? Here's your answer, in case this ever happens in real life. Here's your answer. You look at the child, you look at the fool asking the question, and I say, do you love them? And you respond, and they say, yeah. And I say, why? And you say, I just do. I just do. Like, it's right to my toes. I can't explain it. I just do. This is the tension of faith, isn't it? You see, faith is head and heart. But at the core heart of it, this is a love deal. And faith is an expression that's got to come from here. But I need all the reason. Heart follow. I just do. So when Jesus is paying an outrageous price for us, it doesn't make sense why you should do it. He should just have a complete do-over and wipe us all out. He's paying the outrageous price and you're asking the why. Why do you love me? Because like a beautiful, perfected parent, he scoops you up and says, I just do. I can't help it. I can't stop it. I just do. And humanity is created in the image of God. Has it ever crossed your mind that the power of love has a beginning? And his name is Jesus. He was there in the beginning, and it was expressed in a garden at the beginning. It was broken in the garden, and then he went through the painstaking journey of restoring people back to the garden. My word for this year is the word victorious. I have a word every single year, and those who are part of Grace know my word for this year is the word victorious. Well, let me just say this. My victory, my hope, and my life is not based on what I can do. It's not based on how I can perform for God. It's not based even on how much I can please God. My victory is based on what he's done for me. It's what he's done for me. It sounds simplistic, but a religious rule-keeping system is only going to deliver shame and guilt, not good enough. But a grace-driven, love-driven, heavenly Father sending his son to die for me in his grace, and it's outrageous, will always lead me to freedom. And that's a victory I can walk in, because it's not bound on how good I am. It's on how good he is. And my response is, I want to live with and for him. Because he's the one who can restore and can redeem and can forgive and can make me whole and new. And so John also writes at the beginning of his book, the Gospel of John, John chapter 1, verse 12, he said, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Let's get that image back. To all who received him, to those who believed in his name, Jesus, Messiah, Holy One, Emmanuel, God with us, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, to those who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. We get adopted into his family. And he just loves. So here's a formula for the logics in the room. If I believe that Jesus is who he says he is, he did die and he did rise again, and there's evidence. I haven't got time to go through it all. But if he is who he says he is, and he did what he said he would do, and he is risen, and the tomb is still empty, if I believe and then I receive the power of that resurrection, I receive the forgiveness, the salvation, the restoration, the redemption. I receive all of that living in my very soul. I believe and I receive, then I become a child of God. I have a new identity. I'm a new creature with a new feature. I'm a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Who I am and everything from which life is based upon has a new beginning. I was a seed that is broken, that is now bringing new life. New life. And as I walk with him, the best keeps coming. And eternity for me is no longer a destiny without God. Call it hell, an eternal grave. It is a garden. It has the best to come. It is heaven. It is awaiting. But living for Jesus is not about what happens when I die. That is greater and better to come. But it's about life now. If this is just a belief system, so when I die, it's all good, I'm out. I need a living, breathing Savior who said, I'm going to leave here, but I'm going to send to you the Holy Spirit. And you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes in you. Oh, and life in all its fullness is yours to be had. It isn't a trouble-free life or a pain-free life or a life without suffering or a life without loss or a life without grief. Jesus modeled that's not life. He says, but I'll be with you in all of that. I'll make a way where there seems to be no way. Believe, receive, become. So this morning, I'm going to pray a prayer in a moment. I'm going to tell you what the prayer is. Because for many of you in the room, I believe this needs to be your prayer this morning. It's a prayer for you to believe and receive. It's a prayer that declares death to life. It's a prayer that moves your life from a grave to a garden. This is roughly what the prayer will be. I wrote down a version, but when I pray, it won't be word for word. And I'm going to reveal it to you now so you can then go, I need that prayer this morning. This could be a prayer that you've prayed before. But it's like it gave you new life once, but you've just left it on the side. It could be a prayer you've never heard before. It could be a prayer and you've been in church and walking with Jesus for many, many years, but the power of the resurrection's gone dry for you. And you need a fresh revelation. This applies to everybody. This is roughly what the prayer will say. King Jesus, I approach Jesus as King. You can approach him as Lord Jesus, it's all good. But King Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I really do. I believe that you died, not just for everyone, but for me. I believe that you are risen, the tomb is empty for me. And I invite you into my whole life, every sphere of it. I want to trust you and follow you as my Lord, my Savior, my King. Today, I want my life to go from a grave into a garden. Today, I want to be able to have absolute assurance that even my eternity is not a grave, but my eternity is with you in the garden. King Jesus, I give my life to you. In your name, amen. Roughly a prayer like that is what I'm going to pray. That's a prayer that today you need to go, that's the deal, isn't it? It's that moment, just like Mary didn't know he was there, and he went, Mary. I'm sure she turned and went, King Jesus, I give my life to you today. I'm sure she did, and everything changed. So if that's, I only want to invite us all to pray. Just bow your heads, close your eyes. It's not necessarily a religious posture. It's simply one where we remove distractions. That's why we do that. We just remove distractions. Make it personal. And with your heads bowed and eyes closed, if this prayer that I just prayed, you want to make your prayer today, then right where you are, I want you to raise a hand. Only I can see. I want you to raise a hand, then I know, and I can have an image of who it is I'm praying for. Just raise a hand. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Just raise a hand so I can see. Thank you. Thanks. Wow, thank you. Let's all join together in prayer. Make this your prayer this morning. King Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. But oh, King Jesus, come and would you forgive me, cleanse me, make me new. All my shame and my guilt, my regret and my fears, would you come and would you restore me? I believe that you died for me because you love. I believe that you are risen, the tomb is still empty because you love. I invite you to come breathe into every sphere of my life. I trust you and I choose to follow you as my Lord, my Savior, my King, King Jesus. Today, would you remind me and may I live in the assurance that my life as of today goes from a grave into a garden. My life today and for all eternity goes from a grave into a garden. To all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to be called children of God. Thank you that I am your child. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that this morning with me, those who raised hands, maybe some didn't raise hands, but you did, then it's a new day. It's a new day, wherever that is in your storyline, it's a new day. So I'm going to ask that during, like now, and as the day goes on, and during the last song, open your phone, and 94,000, that's 3 zeros, 94,000 in the message, put Grace AZ, and as you open it, the first option, just press number one, is next step. Press number one, click the link, and then there's some information there, and one of them is, I pray to receive Jesus today. One of them is, I want to get baptized, because we're baptizing in a few weeks' time. We believe and we're baptized. We do baptism here by full immersion dunking. It's the best, but baptism's coming up and we have an information meeting next week about it, but you can check that. But there's just some simple questions on there, nothing much. Just submit that so we can connect with you, because you're adopted. You're in a family, and families care for and nurture and help and support one another. That's what you get to do. And I'm getting a little bit amped up right now because we're about to sing a song that makes me dance. I'm not particularly a good dancer, but that's irrelevant. This is my favorite joyful song of 2021. I know we're only into it 3 months, but the first time I heard it on the first play, I went, yes! Like I played it 1,000 times, and I play it most days. It's called I Thank God. You can remember that. I Thank God. We've only done it a couple of times at Grace so far. I Thank God. And the lyrics of it just make you go, yes. If you have hands, you will clap them to this song. If you have feet, they will move. If you have a face, it will smile. And if you have rhythm, then show us. It's just your very being. Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Love him with everything. And part of the song goes, oh, you pick me up. You turn me around. You set my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. I thank God. Because he healed my heart. He changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. I thank God. And there's a bridge that we repeat a lot. And it's, hell's lost another one. I am free. I am free. See, hell lost a lot that day. But my destiny was there. But he came and he rescued me. I am free. I'm free today and for all eternity. So I'm going to invite you to stand up. And if you're not normally in church on a Sunday, then I want you to feel some joy. Clap, sing, rejoice.